Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 48. It's Browns Week as the 5-4 Steelers will take on the 2-7 Browns before I think both teams go into their bye next week. And, of course, for the Steelers, the big news is the injury report. And, Dave, encouraging news on Ben. Encouraging news on D'Angelo, not so encouraging news on Ryan Shazier or James Harrison.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't look good at all for the last two players that you mentioned, talking about Shazier and James Harrison, both those guys dealing with knee issues. Maybe a glimmer of a hope still for Harrison, but not so much, I wouldn't think, with Shazier. You never like to see those young guys miss practices and we'll have to see. But if both those guys don't play, you'll obviously see Sean Spence, start, mix in some Vince Williams in there with them. And if Harrison isn't able to go, you're going to see Arthur Motes probably flip-flopping sides throughout the game, as he had to do last year when Jarvis Jones was out. So that shouldn't be new to him. And how much Anthony Ciccolo plays, if any, we'll have to see. But they should be able to get by with the three, assuming there's no injuries. And then, of course, they're obviously going to dress Ciccolo again regardless.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect to see much of Ciccolo. And, Dave, you know what? Maybe there's a silver lining here. As the silverback isn't going to play because a lot of people are clamoring for more Jarvis Jones. And I would put myself in that camp as well. We haven't seen a lot of productivity from Harrison, and it's time to find out about Jarvis Jones. And if for 2 weeks here, who knows, with the bye week coming up, whether those guys will be available for the Seattle game, but certainly at least for this game, getting 60 snaps, seeing what he can do, maybe he gets into a better rhythm and maybe he gets more of an opportunity going forward. I had Jerry Dulac on the show yesterday, and one of the things he said that happens and has happened, it certainly happened in the Raiders game, is when they're supposed to go through the rotation at outside linebacker, Harrison has waved Jarvis Jones back to the sideline and keeps himself on the field. And, I hadn't heard that before. I don't know that I have physically seen that happen, but that's what Jerry said has happened. He said it's happened multiple times. And if that's cutting into Jarvis Jones' snaps, that's not really how things should work, I wouldn't think. If they have a rotation in place, I don't necessarily think it should be Harrison's decision that he's staying on the field. Now, I don't know if this has just happened a couple times where we're talking about a couple snaps, but you would think that that's something that Joey or Keith or Mike would address if that were the case. So I'm interested to see how much Jarvis plays. I would expect him to probably get 80 to 85% of the snaps on that right side and see if he's productive. I mean, obviously he's going to have a tall task with Joe Thomas across from him.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect much. He's had very, very limited success in bull rushing Thomas. In fact, I can only think of really one instance, I think, in all the times that he's gone up against him of him really – quote unquote, getting the best of him. So I would temper your expectations to say the least. Now here's something that's a little encouraging, possibly when it comes to the Browns this week. They'll be without that young guard of theirs, Joe Batonio, who's going to miss the game with an ankle injury. So that means Cameron Irving's going to make his first career start at left guard. And as we've seen with the Steelers, David, this year with Alejandro Villanueva and Ramon Foster, and especially when it comes to the stunts and twists, it's very important that those offensive linemen stay on the same level with one another, because if they don't, that's how your penetration and your pressures tend to happen. So I would expect Keith Butler to try a lot of those stunts early on, and hopefully you can get a guy like Cameron Hayward to kind of crash inside that gap in between those two, catch them off guard on a possible switch, and maybe you allow Jarvis Jones to loop around into the middle and get some pressure on either, you know, McCown or Johnny Manziel. So I think that's something to watch more than anything this week when it comes to Jarvis Jones particularly.
Yep, good point. Now let's get back to the Ryan Shazier thing. Any more thoughts about Shazier and the fact that if I did the math right, I think this will be the 13th game he misses out of 26th in his pro career. Just unlucky. What are we going to ascribe this to?
Well, I think it's reason. There's reason to be concerned there. I mean, right?
Yep. For sure.
I mean, this is a guy though that didn't miss a, you know, reportedly didn't miss a snap during his college career, right? So being injured is new to him. So you know he's having you know to get through that. And I think for the most part he's done a good job of keeping himself cleaner this year as opposed to last year. But you know it's kind of like the Kendrell Bell situation many moons ago, right? You know, and Kendrell really came out of the chute a lot faster than Ryan Shazier did. You know, what Kendrell Bell had something like, what, 8 or 9 sacks his rookie season as an inside guy and really didn't see the field, you know, a lot outside of initially, I don't think, except for pass rushing opportunities. So, and we all know what happened to Kendrell Bell. You know, he couldn't shake those injuries, and as quick as he came on the scene, it seems like he quickly left it. And, you know, when you got a first-round pick, you know, invested in a guy like Ryan Shazier, you obviously don't hope that's the case. So, you know, hopefully this knee isn't serious with him. He looks like he's put the neck/shoulder thing behind him, but you just hate to see these guys – nicked up and not answering the bell on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, it's an issue. He, you know, none of the linebackers played well in the Oakland game, so maybe the Steelers are better off with 100% healthy Sean Spence and Vince Williams in there on the inside. Like to see better from Lawrence Timmons as well. So this is going to be a test for the Steelers. Dave, looking at this Browns team, you know, Tom Reed, I think, said it best. There's nothing that they hang their hat on that they do well. And I look at this team and this should be, you know, I don't want to say, you know, you need to win the game by 20 points, but even with Landry Jones playing, this should be a comfortable win for the Steelers. The Browns are really banged up as well. There's just nobody there on that team that you look into who scares you. And really on either side of the ball. I mean, Joe Thomas is a great player. Okay, fine. But he's not going to be protecting a great quarterback. And you know, maybe Duke Johnson's a pretty good young player and, you know, 30-year-old tight end who's breaking out. I just look at it and say, you know, this is one the Steelers should and need to win.
Especially if they protect the football, right?
Yeah.
You know, it should be a slam dunk, you would think, at that point. Now, they actually do something well, David, and digging through some of the stats and tape over, you know, since we last talked and all, believe it or not, the Browns' pass defense is tops in the league when it comes to allowing deep ball completions. Who would have thought that? 30.9% of the deep balls. Now, deep balls, of course, in the NFL are passes 16 or more yards down the field. They've only allowed 30.9% of those to be completed. Now, an argument can be made, well, teams run so well against them, you know, that maybe they're just not needing to focus as much on the deep passing game. Now, it looks like, and we'll know for sure probably, or get a better idea in a few hours here when the final injury reports are released Friday afternoon. It doesn't look like they're going to have Dante Whitner, you know, their starting safety, or cornerback Joe Hayden this week. And not that Joe Hayden has had a lot of success during his career at covering a guy like Antonio Brown, but, you know, you obviously would like to at least attempt to try to put Joe Hayden on an island so to speak, with Antonio Brown and concentrate a little bit more on the other side of the field with a guy maybe like Martavis Bryant. So, you know, are you going to have Justin Gilbert and Pierre Desir seeing a lot of snaps in Sunday's game against Martavis Bryant? I think there's a good chance of that happening, regardless of whether or not Joe Hayden plays in this game. That's a matchup that I really think we need to watch. And let's face it, Martavis Bryant hasn't been great so far this season, and especially when it comes to deep passes. I think I calculated something like three deep passes caught so far this season for Martavis, and he obviously had the one drop, you know, that Ben Roethlisberger dropped right in the bucket to him this past Sunday that he missed. So this is that might be the matchup more than anything to watch offensively for the Steelers this week. David is Martavis Bryant and his ability to produce a couple of explosive plays against the Browns.
So in terms of health, Dave, we got a surprise on Wednesday when we actually saw the injury report. Marcus Gilbert was on there with a toe injury. Will Johnson was on there with a back injury. Shamarco Thomas with a knee injury. And I think I'm forgetting one more. Darius Heyward-Bey, I think, with a knee or an ankle.
Hamstring. He was an addition on Thursday, so that's something to watch for sure. And you mentioned Sean Spence. Shamarco Thomas. That's a knee with him, and he hasn't practiced.
Yeah, he's not going to play Sunday.
Yeah, so he's very unlikely to play. So of course, Matt Spaeth already ruled out for the game with a knee. Terrence Garvin already ruled out for the game. Luckily, they were able to get Steve McClendon with an elbow back practicing fully on Thursday, and the same with D'Angelo Williams and Marcus Gilbert with that toe, as well as Will Johnson with his back. So Williams, Gilbert, Johnson, Heath Miller, Isaiah Pede, McClendon, you know, should all be good to go on Sunday against the Browns. However, you know, I'm not so sure Isaiah Pede gets a helmet, although he might, depending on how many injured guys, you know, that inactive list fills up kind of quick. And as far as Ben Roethlisberger goes, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we're betting no, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, stranger things have happened with that guy, right?
You know, everything we keep hearing is it's getting better and better. And obviously the really positive news out of all of this is that this is going to be a one-week injury. He's going to be back for the Seattle game. And what comes with that is, the bye week, they get some time off. And, you know, we don't even think about the other injury to his knee, where he apparently came out of the game pretty good in that respect. But he will now have three more weeks for that injury to heal. So I'm not expecting Ben to play this weekend, but I am expecting a kind of 100% Ben Roethlisberger when they take on the Seahawks in Seattle.
I wouldn't say 100%, but healthy enough to win ball games. Let's put it that way.
Okay, and so the setup now, we're kind of D'Angelo Williams looks like he's a full go. Is Isaiah Pede going to be dressed for this game, do you think?
Yeah, and that's what I just kind of hit on. It's going to depend, on that inactive list, because you got let's roll through the names real quick. You got Spaeth's going to be down. Shazier stands a good chance of being down. Harrison has a chance of being down. Shamarco has a good chance of being down. Garvin has a good chance of being down, or will be down. Who does that leave? I mean, that's I've already named off what five of the seven names right there. Who else?
Okay.
James Harrison, maybe?
Oh, Harrison's down. Yeah, Harrison, Shazier, Thomas, Ben.
Okay.
Ben.
So there you go. There's seven. There is a decent chance Pede dresses. Here's the names again. Spaeth, Shazier, Harrison.
Garvin.
Shamarco, Garvin, and Ben. Seems like I'm missing one in here somewhere. That's six.
Shamarco.
So,
did you name Shamarco?
Yeah, I named Shamarco as part of the six.
One of the offensive linemen, I guess. Stingley.
Yeah, Stingley. So, I mean, who would you rather dress, Stingley or Pede?
Pede.
You'd rather dress Pede? Why?
just because you don't have anybody, you know, if somebody, you've got two backup linemen already, right? And you've got, yeah, I'd rather dress Pete. I feel like Pete might actually play in this game for some reason.
I don't, but hey, you know, if he plays, it's not going to be but a snap or two, one would think.
How many touches, how many carries do non-D'Angelo Williams backs get in this game?
Barring injury in the game?
Yeah.
Three?
I'll go over. I wouldn't go over five, but I'll go over three. I think Tomlin, I don't know. What do you think about the 29 touches he had last week? Is that fine? Are you willing to do that on a week-in, week-out basis?
I don't think he can do it on a week-in, week-out basis, no. I mean, he hasn't done it for his career. And, you know, I mean, that's just not who he is. We talked about that in the last podcast where, you know, Sunday was the second most carries that he's had in his entire career. I mean, I think it's asking a lot to have him carry the football that many times in a game.
Okay, so let's look on the other side. Do we know who's playing quarterback yet?
For the Browns?
Yeah.
We think it's going to be McCown, but, you know, Mike Pettine's not going to tell us.
You think we'll know? I think we'll know at the end of the day. I think he'll announce his starter.
I don't know. Would you?
Do I think it makes a huge difference? I don't think it makes a huge difference in terms of how the other team prepares. So, I mean, you know, they're not having any more practices. I get, we'll see how he's listed on the injury report. That'll tell us, you know, pretty much, you know, that you don't get away with kind of hiding your starting quarterback these days. So I think we'll know the answer. Do you think it makes a difference in terms of how they perform? Do you think McCown is head and shoulders better than Johnny Manziel and they're a much better
team? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. For one, McCown's a much better deep passer. Here's an interesting stat for you, David, talking about deep passing. Travis Benjamin is obviously their deep threat so far this season. And with him in the last several weeks, where's the stat that I have on him? Both Benjamin and tight end Gary Barnage have combined to catch 17 of the 23 deep passes completed so far for the Browns. Benjamin, however, only has two deep pass receptions in the Browns' last four games and none in their last two. And that's their leading – I mean, that's their best deep threat right there.
I actually like him as a player. I think he's okay.
Boy, he had some nasty drops the other night, though, didn't he?
Did he? Thursday night, it was rough. And the thing is, I don't think he had dropped the ball all year going into that game.
I'll have to double check that stat, but we've got some stuff up on the Browns offense that John Leonard and Alex Cazor put together, and you know, there's no doubt he's their threat along with Gary Barnage. So, and we know how the Steelers have kind of. You know, not kind of. They have struggled against tight ends this year, and Barnage is just playing. Nobody saw that coming. How would you like to have drafted that guy late in your fantasy league? But I digress. But I mean, obviously, McCown I think is the better of the two quarterbacks, and I think Johnny Manziel just so limited with what he can do and understanding, you know, ability and or understanding. Defenses on top of it. I mean, and let's face it, McCown, you know, and those ribs, you're definitely going to be looking to put him on the ground a few times, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. So scheming, this is a game where you bring guys, right? You're going to try and confuse who's ever playing quarterback. You're going to bring pressure different ways, different things. We'll see. I don't think there were any D-back blitzes against the Raiders and Carr, right? So we're going to see some different looks, I would think, on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you go after them, for sure? Especially as we talked early on in the show, you know, about that young guard making the first career start for him. You know, look, Alex Mack and Joe Thomas are pros. You're not going to do a lot that's going to confuse them. You know, I think the Browns, if they're smart, they do a lot of quick passing in this game. Try to get the football out of the hands of their quarterback real quick. On top of that, you know, you would think you know, that they run a lot of 11 personnel, right? Because they want to establish their running game, and the best way for them to, in order for them to do that, is to keep Steve McClendon off the field. So I think we you see them run a lot of 11 personnel, and I think I think they try to get the ball to Johnson, to Duke, not only as a ball carrier, but out of the backfield as well too. I think you'll see them line him up. Split him out wide as well too, because he can kill you vertically, you know, on top of that. So, you know, that's what I'm doing if I'm the Browns. I try to, I don't want to say so much, I mean, yeah, conservative, you know, ball out quick, establish the running game, and hope your defense can keep the Steelers offense, you know, down on the scoreboard. I think that's their only shot at winning. That, along with getting some turnovers or providing some short fields for their offense. But I mean, that's, you know, Captain Obvious statement. Every team tries to do that every week.
Okay, I don't really know what more to say about this game. We've kind of think the game plan is going to be essentially the same with Landry Jones in there for Ben. We don't expect to see kind of have it dumbed down or abandon the passing game or even the deep passing game. We expect them to use the middle of the field. Now, let's play a little over-under. How many catches does Marcus Wheaton get in this game? 2.5.
Wow, you have to take the under, I think.
Is there a future for Marcus Wheaton?
Well, I mean, other than him being under contract through next season, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, it's been.
I mean, you're not going to franchise the guy. You're not going to sign the guy during the off season. You know, you're going to allow him to take the Manny Sanders route, and he's not half the player that Manny Sanders was, even in Manny Sanders' final year in Pittsburgh. So I think he's a guy that probably winds up somewhere else after the 2016 season.
Yeah, and he's going to have to, you know. Keep waiting for it to happen. Keep waiting for that 7-catch, 120-yard day, and it doesn't happen. And if it does, you know, if it doesn't happen this year at all, it'll be interesting to see if Sammy Coates, if there's a role for Sammy Coates in the offense, because you don't really think of Sammy Coates as a slot guy next year. It'd be interesting to see if Sammy Coates somehow jumps him on the depth chart and AB is used all over the place and, you know, the slot position becomes more of a hybrid position in terms of who's actually playing there. But it's been disappointing. I still think he's a talented guy, and he's still a fast guy. We'll see if there's any connection with Landry Jones, because, you know, maybe getting work together on the scout team during the course of Landry Jones' time, see if anything comes of that. How about
Well, here's the thing about Wheaton. I consider him a bright young man, and in that I would expect his understanding of the X's and O's and assignment related stuff and stuff that what he sees to be, you know, you would think where it should be. So, you know, is it the execution? Is it just consistently not being on the same page with the quarterbacks? And we saw that early on last year with him.
Yeah, that's the thing, Dave. Everybody keeps talking about him being a bright guy, but they, you know, we've seen kind of consistently them not on the same page, and maybe that's attention to detail. Maybe a little bit of it's on Ben. I don't know, because it seemed like it was with other receivers as well last game. That would tend toward Ben, I would think, if it's multiple guys having issues. But I'm with you. You know, everybody talks about him being a bright guy, but we continually see this stuff. It's, you know, it hasn't worked out.
And he doesn't. And here's the other thing: he doesn't come off as kind of that alpha male either, right?
No.
Not that, you know. Take that for whatever you want. It's a term that we like to kind of throw around maybe a time or two again. And here's one quick other thing about Sammy Coates. If you go back to when he was drafted, you know, Richard Mann saying that, you know, yes, he hasn't spent a lot of time in the slot, but they kind of, you know, as they do with all the receivers, they like to make them versatile and be able to play every position on the field. And because of Coates's, you know, kind of bigger frame and his size, you know, a type guy that you hope to be able to use in the running game to kind of dig out the safeties, as Richard Mann likes to say. So, you know, he's just going through the typical process, and heck, and it's just hard for Sammy Coates coach to get snaps on the field right now, more than anything else. So, you know, you would hope that halfway through the season now, kind of the same with Martavis Bryant last year, if he is able to get on the field, you would hope that, you know, assignment, at least understand what he's supposed to do and able to execute at that point moving forward. So is this the type of thing where we're going to see the Steelers draft yet another receiver next year? I wouldn't doubt it, especially, you know, after, what, round four or five, you could definitely see that. I mean, you got to keep the pipeline full because, I mean, let's face it, Darius Heyward-Bey is what he is. He's already bumped his head on the ceiling several times since he's been a professional, and I don't think, you know, his special teams play only will carry you so far down the road as well, too. So, you know, I think it's Brown, Bryant, and, of course, Wheaton next year, and you would, like you said, you would probably like to see Sammy Coates overtake Marcus Wheaton on that depth chart next year during training camp.
Let's talk about the receivers blocking, because we haven't talked about that much over the past month, and obviously the running game's going great. We know Darius Heyward-Bey is a willing and capable blocker, and that's why he sees as many snaps as he does. Give me your thoughts on the other two starters.
Antonio Brown's not going to do much for you out there as a blocker, and really,
Martavis, we haven't seen much of.
Now, Martavis has it in him. You know, but you're right. We haven't seen much of that. And really, how many times have you said, yeah, it's been very few times during Wheaton's career that we've said in game, as opposed to later when watching the All 22 tape saying, oh, wow, look at that block by Marcus Wheaton.
Right.
I mean, it has happened,
right.
But no, overall that unit, there's no Hines Ward in there.
Darius Heyward-Bey is as close as you get to Manny Sanders, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple more over-unders. Catches in this one for Heath Miller, 4.
Oh, wow, that's a good number, too. Because Landry Jones likely to start and just doesn't seem to be on the same page with him, I'll say under.
I'm going to take over. I think we'll see him use the middle of the field more in this game. Total yards from scrimmage for D'Angelo Williams, 90.
Oh, wow. I'll take the over on that.
I'll take under. Total yards from scrimmage for Antonio Brown, and I'll use 90 again.
Boy, if he doesn't get over on that, Steelers probably lose this game. So I'll take the over.
I'm going to take barely over on that one. I don't see him getting 150 in this. Okay, so.
Did you say 100 or 150?
I said 90.
Okay, all right.
I think he'll get 100. I don't think he'll get 150 is what I then said afterward. Total Kent touches for Jesse James. 2.
Under.
I'll go under as well. Passing yards for Landry Jones, 230. By the way, I'm picking the numbers that I think they're going to be, so that's, you're getting a good idea of where I am.
Yeah. Wow. Over.
Yeah, I'll take over as well. All right.
Well, I'm not very convincing, am I?
understandably. And they've run the ball so well. But how about last night's game? Big lead for the Bills. They almost gave it back. In the near term, this helps the Steelers. It just keeps everybody kind of around and gives the Jets, who are the quote unquote leaders in the wild card race, they get a loss. Obviously, the Bills get a win and the Bills go to New England. So, you know, we could see we're going to probably be looking at a 5-5 Bills team after next week. Any takeaways from the game? I mean, quarterback play wasn't great. Obviously, these are two pretty good defensive teams. And by the way, if you're colorblind, everybody who was wearing the same uniform, and I'm not laughing at colorblind people, I'm laughing at the NFL not being aware that would be the case.
Boy, Christmassy, huh?
I liked it. I thought it looked good, but I realized that if you couldn't discriminate between those two colors, you know, that probably wasn't a lot of fun to watch.
My thoughts on the game are pretty much I think the Jets just gave it away. I mean, you fumble a couple times like they did, and then, wow, I mean, some of the play calls, you know, later on in that game, particularly really the final two drives, really had you kind of scratching your head. You know, I mean, they were given a gift on that botched punt. I mean, how do you go to a nobody on the fourth down play there? I just don't understand it. And you know, Fitzpatrick is an average quarterback, but I mean, he's been around long enough. I consider the Jets lost that game more than the Bills won it.
Fair enough. All right.
And as far as the standings go, Steelers are technically, you know, the number seven seed right now, pending Sunday's outcome. They can of course jump into the number five seed with a win over the Browns. So and as you stated, State of Buffalo plays New England and then Kansas City the next 2 weeks. And the Jets schedule, I think, who is it? Houston and I forget who they play after that. But definitely we'll be doing some scoreboard watching during the bye week.
Yeah, that Kansas City game will be an elimination game for one of those two teams. I'm thinking. You know, we'll see what Kansas City's got to do it this week. Should we get into the picks for the week?
Sure.
All right. On a bye, Atlanta, Indianapolis with Andrew Luck with a lacerated kidney and the issues that he has. San Diego, Phillip Rivers can go home and tend to his kids and look at that 2-7 record. And San Francisco, again, miserable team. All four of those teams headed in the wrong direction. Atlanta looks like they may still be a playoff team, but a rough go for them the past couple of weeks. They're probably welcoming the bye. The Packers host the Lions, -11.5. Detroit never goes into Green Bay and plays well. It's been forever. Dave, I'll lay the points. I mean, Green Bay's really struggled offensively, and I think we reevaluate, or at least I reevaluate, whether they are one of the elite teams in the league right now. They're a good team. Eddie Lacy loses his starting job to James Starks. How about that? But I'll still lay the points.
Boy, I talked about deep ball completion percentages allowed by the by defenses around the league this year. Detroit's last, and it goes without saying that Green Bay can really push the football down the field when they need to. I don't see how this stays, you know, close. To be quite honest, turnovers obviously would have to happen for this to stay close. So because of that, I'll take the Packers and lay the points.
Okay, game number two on the board. Dallas goes to Tampa. Dallas is getting a point. You got to think at some point here, Dallas' season's kind of on the line. They're, what, 0-6 without Romo? I don't know what his timetable is. Dez is obviously back. Tampa, they played the Giants tough, but kind of at the end gave up another score. They obviously got the surprise win over New Orleans. This is a tough one, Dave. I'd like to pick the Bucs here, but I'm going to take Dallas plus the point.
Yeah, I think I'm with you as well, too, on this, even though it's a road game. Really, I mean, when does it – is this a must-win game for them?
I really do, because obviously when we say must-win, it doesn't mean they're eliminated, but it gives them no margin for error the rest of the way, and they're not running the table the rest of the way, no matter who plays quarterback.
Yeah, they would be 2-7 with a loss. So they even running the table, they would be 9-7. You know, you would think that's not going to be good enough to get a wild card. So really, their only chance at that point would be to win the division. You would think. So backs up against the wall. If they lose it, I mean, how much is Jason Garrett on the hot seat already, do you think?
I don't think he is. If you take your quarterback away, I just don't think you can judge, you know, how the team does.
What do you think about Dez Bryant's outburst yesterday?
You know, I saw that he had an outburst. I didn't see what it was.
Yeah, watch. I don't know all the specifics about it, but Jason Witten had to interrupt an interview to go check. Poor Jason Witten, you know.
He's got to play. He's got to play.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, we all hate the Cowboys, right? Jason Witten is one of those good guys, and you just hate to have to see him go through something like this. But back to the game, I think the Cowboys back up. I think Castle's good enough to win this game. So give me the Cowboys plus the, what did you say, point and a half?
Point.
Okay, yeah.
Carolina goes to Tennessee, -5. You might as well keep taking them until they, you know, don't get it done. Tennessee had a good win. Big game for Marcus Mariota. He got offensive player of the week over Antonio Brown, which was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, good job. But I don't think against his defense, the rookie quarterback, I'll take the Panthers.
Yeah, and I think you just circled it right there. I think it's the Panthers' defense against a rookie quarterback and a Tennessee team that I'm not convinced can run the football. And, you know, Carolina, you know, even the back end with their secondary is strong with Josh Norman back there. So it's hard to go. I think I'm sticking with you so far, David. Give me Carolina later points.
By the way, I had, just for the record, I had Buffalo. Dave had the Jets last night, so my commanding lead is still intact.
Let me ask you, if the Jets score there, they go for two, right?
Yeah, they were down five. So they get a touchdown, they're up one, they go for two. Yeah, they cover if they go and score and make it.
Yeah.
Saints go to the Redskins. I don't know what to make of either of these teams. I think the Redskins have been a little better than I expected this year. This is, you know, you look at the standings, and probably not a lot of people are focused on these two teams who listen to this podcast, but you look at the standings and you say, both these teams are still kind of in the conversation, at least, as the Skins are 3-5 and the Saints are 4-5. You look at the wild card in the NFC, and there's no good teams. I mean, Minnesota's 6-2 and the Falcons are 6-3. We think the Rams and the Seahawks, kind of everybody's in it, but this is an elimination game, I think, for the loser right here. If you lose this, whoever loses is going to have six losses already. I'll take the Saints, the really disappointing loss last week. I thought that they were getting it right, but they are putting up points. So I'll take them in a high-scoring game, -1 in Washington.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with you on this one as well, too. I think, you know, I think you try to boil this one down just to the quarterback play, and I think Drew Brees is the better of the two here. So, yeah, I'm with you. Did you skip the Chicago-St. Louis game?
Sorry, I did accidentally. And the Rams host the Bears. You know, Jay Cutler's been probably better than people maybe realize. The Bears come in at 3-5. The St. Louis comes in at 4-5. And, you know, we're talking about elimination games. Whoever loses this one's in real trouble. And everybody knows Ryan with the Saints. So, Rams. I'll take the Rams -7, but that doesn't feel great to me.
Yeah, and here I am with you again. Alshon Jeffrey might, you know, I think is questionable for this game. And yeah, they got a nice performance out of Jeremy the kid Langford out of Michigan State this past week in that game against the Chargers. And Cutler, I thought, played well. But, you know, I don't know. You know, we keep saying that St. Louis defense, and look, they're good against the deep pass from what I remember. You know what? Maybe this game's closer than what we think. So I'll be a little bit different. Give me Chicago plus the touchdown.
Okay, the Eagles -6 against the Dolphins. Did we finally see the Eagles kind of crack the code last week and against Dallas get that overtime win, get that offense going? Because their defense has been pretty good. In Philadelphia, the weather's going to be reasonable, as it is in Pittsburgh on Sunday. I'm staying with Chip.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles' defense remains the difference, you know, is the difference maker still for them right now. Their offense obviously has had their struggles. We know Miami's issues. A lot of it, in my opinion, related to the offense. So, Philadelphia laid the points in this one.
All right. Let's go down to the Ravens hosting the Jags. The Ravens given 5.5. I'll take the Jags. Blake Bortles, they played the Jets tough last week. They're not getting wins, but I think they can do enough to keep this a game. So I'll take the points.
Wow. I mean, you just keep waiting for – I mean, Bortles is doing some good things. It's just you keep waiting for him to have that, oh, my, you know, kind of game. And I'm not sure he's had it yet. The Baltimore defense, though, is susceptible to – in my opinion, not only the run, but the deep pass as well, too. However, Man, if Baltimore loses to Jacksonville, at home, I just don't see that happen. I think Baltimore is just the better of the two teams. So give me Baltimore and lay the points.
Okay. The Vikings go to Oakland, and boy, if Steelers fans want a game where their rooting interests lay, it's here with the Vikings getting three in Oakland. But I really like what I've seen from the Raiders. And, Teddy Bridgewater on the road, not enough. I'll take the Raiders minus the three.
Yeah, what a disappointing loss this would be for the Raiders, right? I mean, look so good offensively. Defense, obviously going to have some problems. But, I mean, outside of Adrian Peterson on offense, where's Minnesota's weapons? And I think this line's too low, so give me Oakland at home to rebound and win and cover this easily.
All right, huge game in Denver for the Chiefs, maybe for the Broncos as well. If they were to lose this one, maybe it opens the door for at least somebody to test them in the division, obviously the Raiders. I think this is a really interesting game, Dave. This is one I'll be watching at 4:25 with great interest. And I'm going to take the Chiefs here plus 5.5. I know people were, thought the Chiefs were terrible when the Steelers went there. The Chiefs aren't a terrible team. They beat the Steelers. They won the game in London. They came coming off the bye week. Peyton's banged up with a foot injury. Maybe we see the regression offensively. So we saw these two teams play in Kansas City, and Jamaal Charles fumbled at the end of regulation on a ridiculous play call by Andy Reid. They cost him the game. But I'll take the 5.5.
And no Aqib Talib this week, right?
Right. Don't stick a finger in somebody's eye. Don't say it was an accident either.
Aqib Talib Howard with the old Three Stooges. Yeah. Poker. Do you give him more than one game for that?
I don't think you do, because that's $380,000 he's losing. But, boy, he has history. So I don't think it was enough of an offense. This is one of those where if he did some damage to the player, might think about, suspending him for the rest of the year. And I don't think it should be a results-based business. But on this case, I will look at that and say, okay, one game satisfactory.
Taking the Gary Bettman route?
Yeah, exactly. The NHL. Exactly.
Wow. I just think Denver's defense, even though they got carved up, even though Andrew Luck had more success than I think both of us thought he would have, that offensive line as well, too. And they're going to be without one of their pass rushers as well, too. But, I mean, at home, it's hard for me not to take Denver. So give me Denver and lay the points in this one.
Okay. Pats go to the Giants. That's a 4:25 kickoff as well in New York, MetLife Stadium. I don't see it. I'll Pats roll double digits.
Boy, the Giants always seem to somehow play these guys tough, don't they? But New England's a machine right now. It's going to be interesting to see how they're, you would think LeGarrette Blount's going to get the lion's share of the carries, and then, maybe a guy like the young running back Bolden helps fill the loss of Deion Lewis there. I'm with you. I just don't see how the Giants can win this game. So I don't think they're going to be able to cover Gronk either, and I think Gronk can have a big game, as can Julian Edelman. So give me the Patriots to lay the points.
All right. Sunday night, Seattle hosts Arizona. This is a good game. And, Dave, I don't think Seattle's going to make the playoffs. I'll just say it. I've said it for 4 or 5 weeks now. I think the Steelers can go into Seattle and win. We'll see if Arizona can go into Seattle and win. They're getting 3 points. I'm just not buying the Seahawks this year. I've watched them play a bunch of times. I watched them last whenever they played Dallas. Was that last week, that 13-12 miserable game? Russell Wilson did some nice things at the end to get him in position to win the game, but I don't think they're that good. I think the Cardinals are good, so I'll take the 3 points on the road.
Arizona coming off of a bye, is that right?
I think so.
I can't remember, but regardless, Arizona's my number one team in the power rankings, David, in the NEA stats. So obviously, I'm going to think that they have a good shot at winning this game. How big of if Arizona doesn't win this game, you have to wonder how for real are they, being as how they are, lost to the Steelers as well too. So give me Arizona to win this outright. And to cover.
And that puts the Seahawks at 4-5 and really makes it a big question. I mean, obviously, everybody in the NFC is rooting for the Raiders to beat the Vikings. Everybody in the AFC is rooting for the Vikings to beat the Raiders. So everybody's going to be scoreboard watching that game. Nothing interesting on the Monday night game. You get to see the Bengals in prime time. They're 10.5-point favorites over the Texans at home. This is the kind of game where I think you could see the Bengals really kind of explode and put up 45 and win this thing going away. I mean, I know on a Thursday night game last year that Dalton was terrible against the Browns. They looked miserable, but I think it goes the other way on their home field.
Yeah, there's no reason to think that the Bengals are going to stumble in this one. The question is the line, bless you, is the line big enough? Unless J.J. Watt just knocks Andy Dalton out of the game. And look, J.J. Watt should have some success in this game, but I just don't think it's enough. I think Cincinnati's just too loaded with talent. So, wow, are we on?
Two different, Kansas City, Denver, and maybe Chicago, St. Louis.
Yeah, give me Cincinnati at home to cover this one.
All right, the Steelers, 1 o'clock kickoff. For those who are coming down to the stadium, I will be out front in Stage AE with Adam Crowley, Rob King, Dale Lawley, Mike Persuda. We'll be there from 9 to 11, so if you get a chance to get down there early, it is supposed to be – last Sunday was just as great a fall football day as you could have, and it's supposed to be more of the same this Sunday. It's going to start probably afternoon in the high – or the morning in the mid-40s, but get up into the mid-50s, the high 50s later in the day. So it should be a fun day. If you get down there early, come on by and say hello. We'll give you a shout-out. Dave, I expect good things from Landry Jones. I actually expect Landry Jones to play as well as Ben Roethlisberger has played the past 2 weeks. I expect him to go out there to be efficient. I'll put him at his turnover. I'll say he only has one interception in this. I expect the Steelers' defense to be much better than they were last week in terms of generating pressure. And, you know, I see a comfortable victory here. I think it'll be a little bit like what the Bengals did to the Browns last week. Kind of put them away toward the end, and I'm gonna give them a 31-13 victory, almost kind of the same score we saw on Thursday night.
Wow! You expect them to score that many points? Any special teams? How big a role will the special teams play in this game for the Steelers?
I'm just gonna suggest that a turnover leads directly to points, whether it's they actually get the points or get the ball on the 6-yard line or the 20-yard line, something like that that sets up a touchdown.
You know, Keith Butler talks about that magic number of 17. So, you know, I think they hold the Browns just under that number to 16 this week. However, I can't say that I feel comfortable with predicting that the Steelers will score 30 points. But I think they will score enough, obviously, to win this game and cover the line. I have the Steelers 23-16 over the Browns.
All right. Good stuff. You know, there are 14 games, we're on the same side of 12 of them, so we'll see how it all plays out.
If they lose this game, the Steelers lose this game, what's the narrative? And
the narrative is that this defense is really not as good as the points allowed suggested in some of those games that were getting by on the turnovers, and that was the difference. If they don't create turnovers, they are not a good defense. That'll be the narrative if they give up, you know, 27 points. If the offense is terrible, obviously the narrative would be, well, Landry Jones is kind of basically who we thought he was. He's not as bad as we thought he was, but he's not maybe as good as we saw in a couple of relief appearances. He can't do it by himself. So I think that's kind of those would be the two ways to go with if the Steelers lose this one.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think we've already kind of established that the Steelers defense isn't as good as
I'm not sure everybody buys that. I think you and I do, but I think people have been, you know, they want to buy into this defense, the fact that they've been doing that. So it'll be interesting because look, this isn't a high powered offense. So this defense should shut down bad offenses, and so that'll be the test.
Will the Steelers make the playoffs if they lose this game?
That's a great question. The answer should be no, because if they lose this game, then they're not that good a team. But because Ben isn't playing, we're assuming Ben's not playing, I'll still say yes, but I will have, you know, I'll say it with 51-49% conviction.
It'll certainly tighten things up. It'll make the road a lot harder because we've talked several times. You get Seattle after the bye. You got Denver. You got the Colts. You got the Bengals. You got the Ravens. You got the Browns again.
You just named five decent teams. I mean, the Ravens, we can debate whether they're good or not, and we can debate whether Indianapolis is good or not, but, you know.
And a lot of that depends on if Landry Luck makes it back for that, or maybe not. I mean, are we underselling Matt Hasselbeck?
Are we overselling Andrew Luck the way he's played this year?
Yeah. Regardless, you look at this thing, and the Ravens always play the Steelers tough. We know Denver's Denver. Seattle, that's going to be a tough game on the road for sure, regardless of the situation. So I will say that the Steelers lose this game. No, they do not make the playoffs. But let's hope we're not even talking about that. I think we both feel comfortable that the Steelers will win this game, and hopefully they'll make us look smart. Let's see, David, I think that's going to do it for us on this Friday. As always, folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show, please, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what you hear and you like us doing this thing three times a week, please support us by donating to the site. You can do that by going to SteelersDepot.com. We tell you every week how to do it. David, that's all I got. Happy Friday. I got a pot roast going, Dave. I'm having some barbecue beef later on.
My mouth is watering. Send a care package.
All right, have a good weekend, Dave.
All right, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.